I would like to focus in this first hour on Bach's Christmas Oratorio. And the oratorio itself is in six parts and runs for in excess of 2 hours. So we're not going to be looking at it anything like in its entirety. But we will be looking at part one in some detail and maybe picking up one or two of the aspects of part two. So let's start with some music, and then I'll explain what it is we're listening to and what it is you might expect as we go forward. So here now is the first part of Bach's Christmas Oratorio, and it's joyous. It's really what you'd expect. So let's listen. Here we go.
88.3 Southern FM. You're listening to Songs of Hope, a special Christmas edition. And we are in this Christmas edition contemplating Bach's Christmas Oratorio. And that was the opening to the first of his cantatas. The oratorio itself is composed of six cantatas. And they were structured after such a fashion as to provide an analysis of the Christmas scenes from out of Luke's Gospel and also out of Matthew's Gospel. And the first three cantatas deal with the child being born in Bethlehem, and then the angels hearing the announcement of that birth. Sorry, the shepherds hearing the announcement of that birth by the angels. And then the third cantata, the shepherds go to Bethlehem and see what it is that they've heard about. So the first three cantatas lead us up to that point. Then the second group of three cantatas start with Jesus' presentation in the temple, which is to say his circumcision, and is followed then by two aspects of Matthew's Gospel where the three wise men or the magi come to visit. And because there is so much music in this oratorio and so much joy in it too, we feel it's not appropriate to try and put the whole thing on this morning. But we will be looking principally at cantata number one, which deals with Christ's birth, and thereafter maybe just touch a little bit on cantata number two. We'll get to hear what the shepherds heard. So the opening there was the chorus, and it's a paraphrase, I suppose you'd say, of the first two verses of Psalm 100. Celebrate, rejoice, rise up and praise these days. Glorify what the highest has done today. Abandon despair, banish laments. Sound forth full of delight and happiness. Serve the highest with glorious choruses. Let us honour the name of the Supreme God. So that was Bach's opening, and as you can see, it was full of gusto, full of joy, full of strings and trumpets, and a very vigorous choral effort by the singers there. And in true Bach fashion, we move then to a recitative, which is the evangelist announcing from Scripture what it was that was happening in Bethlehem at that time. The evangelist is singing from Luke chapter 2, verses 1, 3, and 3 through to 6, and it came to pass that Augustus made a decree and explains how Joseph was obliged to go to the city of Nazareth because that was the, leave the city of Nazareth and go to the city of Bethlehem because that was the territory where his household, the race of David, came from. So let's now hear the narrative in recitative form.
Es begab sich aber zu der Zeit, dass ein Gebot von dem Kaiser Augustus ausging, dass alle Welt geschützet würde, und jedermann ging, dass er sich schätzen ließe. Ein jeglicher in seiner Stadt, da machte sich auch auf Josef aus Galiläa, aus der Stadt Nazareth in das jüdische Land, zur Stadt Davids, die da heißet Bethlehem. Darum, dass er von dem Hause und Geschlechte Davids war, auf das er sie schätzen ließe mit Maria, seinem vertrauten Weibe, die war schwanger. Und als er selbst waren, kam die Zeit, dass sie gebären sollte.
And so with that, the scriptures explaining Christ's presence in Bethlehem are presented. And we move now to another recitative, this time taken not from the Gospels, but based on the Song of Solomon. And for those of you who are familiar with the scriptures, you might find that a strange set of verses to be including in a Christmas carol or a Christmas presentation. But it's the desire of the bride for the bridegroom and the promise of David's branch. So let's hear. So the soprano sang, "Now, my dearest bridegroom, now the hero from David's branch for the comfort and for the salvation of the earth will be born at last." And then the choir responds, "Prepare yourself, Zion, with tender efforts to behold your lovely one, your beloved, near you soon." And in the joy they sing, "Your cheeks must now glow much more radiantly. Hurry to love the bridegroom with a passion." So Bach's music was joyous, but also the words of his librettist, Picander, are also very joyous as well. So we come now to the chorale in this first cantata, and it's said that the chorale is probably the most important musical element in Bach's choral music, particularly with regard to the Christmas oratorio. The chorales were introduced into church services by Martin Luther to allow the congregation to take part in the musical worship. They were often simple, hymn-like melodies that were harmonized by the choir or the organ. And in Bach's case, the congregation would have known and sung the chorale melodies in the Christmas oratorio. Most of them are set simply, and the soprano is leading the congregation in the melody. And I suspect you will know this chorale that we're about to hear. How shall I embrace you?
dich Zion. Mit zärtlichen Trieben bereite dich Zion, mit zärtlichen Trieben.
Those of you who know your Bach cantatas and oratorio will be a bit mystified there, for reasons that I won't go into. I've managed to give you one of the choruses from part three. The joyous bit before that aria was actually from part three. But anyway, my goal is to present Bach's oratorio, so it's okay. The oratorio itself was written in 1735, which... just to give it a point of reference, Handel's Messiah was written in 1742. So the period of Handel and Bach, and for that matter Haydn, but mostly Handel and Bach and others, was very productive and very fruitful time for church music and for Christian music generally. And whereas Handel wrote Messiah to raise funds for an orphanage, Bach wrote his works in order to keep body and soul together. Bach was the cantor at St. Thomas Leipzig, and in 1722 the then musical director passed on, and Bach was an applicant for the position, and they considered his application and then offered the position to George Philip Telemann. He's a famous name, and he was a unanimous selection by the council, but to their great disappointment he turned down the offer, and so they turned to their second choice, Christoph Gaupner. And he was unable to secure release from his existing position, and therefore he had no alternative but withdraw his application. So in desperation, the council offered the job to Bach, who at the time was hardly known in Leipzig. One official observed that as the best musicians were not available, they had no option but to take one of the mediocre ones. How glad we are that they did. And so, as I say, 1734... saw the presentation of the first of the cantatas of Bach's oratorio, and the six parts are actually split across the two churches that he had to service with music, and that's why, for those who are students of these things, the musical arrangements are so different in terms of the accompaniments and so on. Anyway, enough of the background. Let's get on with the music itself. This is the chorus that I promised you. So that is a chorale that you will probably know. Some of us will have sung that at church, O Sacred Head, Sore Wounded. And for those of us who aren't accustomed to singing it as a hymn, you probably should recognize the melody from St. Matthew's Passion. And again, I state the purpose for including the chorale was so that the people at the oratorio themselves could enter in. And in this instance, they were singing, How shall I embrace you and how encounter you? O desire of the whole world, O adornment of my soul, O Jesus, Jesus, place the torch near me yourself, so that what gives you pleasure be known and familiar to me. And so the notion of the chorale was people, as it were, entering in not just to the performance, but to the sentiment of what was being presented in the cantata itself. And Bach has followed a quite formal Lutheran process in the contemplation of the scriptures. We had the evangelist who were in with the recitative was explaining or presenting to us the scriptures. Then we had two arias, which often were non-biblical texts, set to expound or explain the scripture. And then the final stage is the affirmation, in which the congregational prayer is uttered, often with a plea or a thanksgiving in the form of the chorale. And in this case, there is both thanksgiving that Jesus is the adornment of my soul, but there's the plea, how shall I embrace you and how encounter you? And this particular process of scripture, theology, reflection, and then application was very much the way that Luther urged the scriptures to be presented to the people, not so much in song, but just in the process of preaching itself. All right, then, well, let's now continue on with the music. We've got the recitative coming, which is the explanation that Mary herself has borne the child, and she bore her first son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes.
Ziege bar ihren ersten Sohn und wickelte ihn in Windeln und legte ihn in eine Krippe, denn sie hatten sonst keinen Raum in der Herberge.
So now what we've got is a blend, really, of chorale and recitative. The chorale is based on a hymn. I won't give you the German for it. I can't read it. But the chorale, the people will sing, He came to earth so that he might have sympathy for us and make us rich in heaven and like his dear angels. Glory to God. Interspersed in the chorale is recitative, who can rightly exalt this love that our Saviour harbours for us? Indeed, who could possibly have predicted how the sorrow of humanity moved him? The Son of the Highest came into the world since its salvation pleased him so much. Thus, he himself will be born a human.
Thank you. Menschen Sohn kommt in die Welt, weil ihm ihr Heil so wohl gefällt.
Chorale and recitative are then followed by an aria, which for time's sake I'll not play. And the first of the cantatas in the six cantatas that make up the Christmas oratorio concludes with a chorale. And again, it's typical of the devotion to be found in Bach's music. He was not content merely to tell stories, but to urge the people to embrace the reality of the faith. And so this last chorale is the people singing, "Ah, my heart's beloved little Jesus, make yourself a pure and soft little bed within my heart's chamber in which to rest, so that I never forget you." We tend to think of Jesus in the manger, but here's Bach urging us to make a place for Christ in our hearts and lives. And that chorale concludes the first of the cantatas, and we move now to the second. And I am going to have more time to present some of this than what I thought, which is really good. The second part of Bach's Christmas oratorio is often said to be the most lovable and intimate of all the six sections. The opening sinfonia, which we'll be playing in a moment, uses four oboes as the shepherds and the flutes and strings as the accompanying orchestra. The evangelist then begins to recount the story of the shepherds in the fields, and the chorus sings a beautiful chorale in response to all of that. So this is said to be, as I said, the most intimate of them. And for me, I particularly enjoy the sinfonia. It runs for about 5 minutes because it reminds me of that sort of rural impact, that sort of pastoral feel that is being caught, well, perhaps in Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, but more particularly in the Pfeiffer, it's called, in Handel's Messiah. You can get this sense of the shepherds sitting around playing their flutes while they're watching over their sheep. So here it is, the Sinfonia to Bach's second cantata, one of six, which is the Christmas Oratorio. And for information's sake, the time now is 7:47. You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, and this is the first hour of 2 hours of Christian music, in particular, Christmas Christian music.
waren Hirten in derselben Gegend, oft im Felde bei den Hürden. Die hüteten des Nachts ihre Herde. Und siehe, des Herren Engel trat zu ihnen, und die Klarheit des Herrn umleuchtete sie. Und sie furchten sich.
And so the tenor has announced the shepherds as having seen the brilliance of the Lord shining around the angels, Luke 2, 8 to 9. And then there's a chorale. Break forth, O lovely light of morning, let heaven dawn. You shepherd folk, do not fear, for the angel tells you. Not forgetting that this is in the chorale, this is the people entering in. To, well, in this case, encourage the shepherds. What else would that be the angelic voice of a boy soprano saying to the shepherds as the angel, do not be afraid. Let's continue on now with a beautiful aria, Happy the Shepherds, Hurry, Ah, Hurry.
Ihr euch zu lang verweilet, sehen.
So we draw to a close now in terms of our consideration of Bach's cantatas. And I just want to conclude with what was an amusing situation for me. The other day we had a friend come visit us, a man by the name of Frank from Germany. And it had been a particularly hot Melbourne day. We were sitting out in our backyard having a barbecue. And Carla, my wife, put this CD on. And all of a sudden, we're listening to Christmas chorales and arias and so on, and our friend Frank just stopped right in the middle mid sentence, and he said, "I can't believe it! I can't believe it! This is outrageous!" We said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I'm sitting here in the backyard of a stinking hot day and I'm listening to that, to what I normally hear in Germany in the freezing cold at Christmas. This is so disorienting." In fact, it really was disorienting. He went home and, sorry, he went into the house later in the evening and rang his mother to tell him what had happened. Here he was sitting listening to Bach oratorio in 34 degree heat. So we conclude our, peremptory, superficial analysis of Bach's work with just a little further from his second chorale, from his second cantata. And before I do, I just want to acknowledge that I have been using conductor's notes prepared by Alan Fry in 2010, and also to acknowledge the CD itself. It's the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields under the direction of Sir Philip Ledger. The tenor has been Robert Teer, and I don't know that we got to hear the bass, Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau. Others to sing are also Ellie Emmeling and Janet Baker. That's an EMI CD. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. So thank you so much for staying with me for this first hour of Christmas music brought to you by Songs of Hope. And I trust that you have enjoyed, I guess, a reflection on how Christmas was celebrated in 1734 when Bach wrote the first of his cantatas. So let's now conclude.
Und das ab zum Zeichen. Ihr werdet finden das Kind in Wien.